for he is worthy of all the praise and all the glory. So we gathered together on the last Sunday morning of 2008. And we must be having fun because the time is flying by. And what have we done? What have we left undone? What have we accomplished? Where are we standing? What's the pulse, the condition of my life, the ministry that God has given us? How effective have we been as a church? It's a good time for taking stock and evaluating. Most importantly, it's a time for looking up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. We're one day closer, one step closer. How's your vision? How's your sense of purpose? How's the kingdom growing in your life? Are you encumbered about with many things? Or is it still pure and raw and zealous and exciting? Until you get up in the morning with the zeal of God still on your life. Do you remember what it was like when he first rained down fire and spirit upon you? These are all good questions to ask any time of the year, but especially at the end of a year. There's just something about it. Because people in the natural tend to make commitments about what they're going to accomplish in the natural. It's a great time of the year to be running a fitness center. They sell more lifetime memberships right now. And by April, the tennis shoes are dusty. The treadmills are clothes racks. But what are we doing in the kingdom of God? And those are the most important areas of evaluation. The kingdom of God is great. It is the intrinsic nature of the kingdom to continue to grow in you. And you ought to be better right now than you've ever been. You ought to love it more right now than you've ever loved it. You ought to be more excited about it right now. You ought to have more Holy Ghost and greater capacity for the things of God than you've ever had before. And that's the way the kingdom of God really works. This morning we're going to talk about some things in regard to apostolic culture and an overview of some things regarding the failure of Judah and the persistent success of the church. We want to look at ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God and see ourselves. We're so glad to have our visitors here today. Have a couple of very special people here, Brother Ted and Sister Jody Walker from Sonora, Arizona. That's pretty near to Mexico. And they're traveling around visiting people that they knew once upon a time and worked with once upon a time in the kingdom of God. And we're on their list. Long ago and far away, when our children were small and we were all young and good looking. Well, young. We were privileged to go to their home and open up a home Bible study. And as the years have rolled by, they've had great impact on the kingdom of God. At one point there in Sonora, I think over 50 people in your Bible study scenario there in the house, in the ranch house there at Sonora. Great servants of God, great teachers of the Word of God. And we're just glad to have them in the house today. Praise God. All right, well, let's take a text this morning so you will think you've been preached to. Jeremiah chapter 6, and beginning in verse 16 and verse 17. And everyone say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now tell your neighbor, that means God talks. And when God talks, you need to listen. We're going to see a repetitive theme through these Old Testament prophets. But you can't go but a verse or two in the book of Jeremiah without hearing, "Thus saith the Lord," or "Hear what the Lord says," or "The word of the Lord to Israel." Everything hinges on the word of God. Everything. And in the end, nothing else is going to stand. Everyone say, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. I know God's talking, but I'm not listening. I've got other business. I've got other dreams. I've got other desires. I've got a plan. It's not God's plan. Wish God would just leave me alone. No, you don't. Because when everything's said and done, you can run from him as long as you like. You can hide as skillfully as it is possible to hide. You can drink yourself crazy. You can drug yourself blind. You can jump from bed to bed, man to man, woman to woman, adventure to adventure. But you're going to stand before God. And you won't ever escape that fact. Better to stand before him as a son or a daughter in good standing in the word of God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's clap our hands unto him and give him a shout of praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Well, we give you praise, mighty God, and we magnify your name and we lift you up. We bless your name, oh God. Last Sunday morning in 2008, we've had almost 200 people receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name. We might as well have church. We might as well shout about it a little bit. Well, praise God. Been a good year in the kingdom of God. God's not in trouble. And it really doesn't matter what else is going on around you, economically or societally or in your culture or circumstances. None of that defines you if you're walking with God. But the word of God can define you and your household and your family. We've been talking about apostolic culture. We've been looking at the plight of Judah here as depicted by the book of Jeremiah. He is a prophet to Judah. Israel has already gone into captivity. And now Judah is about to go into Babylon for 70 years of captivity. Their temple is about to be torn down. Their holy city is about to be razed. And they are going to be murdered, slaughtered by the tens of thousands as Babylon makes his way through there. And they'll take the very best of the young men and women off into captivity. And everybody else dies. And everything goes into the coffers of a heathen, pagan empire. Because Israel would not hear the word of God. It's just as simple as that, friend. It's the word of God. If you'll hear it, good things are going to come to your life. If you refuse to hear it, there is no telling where you will be 5 years from now. Or even a year from now. With Jeremiah, Judah is backslidden and they're about to go into captivity. And we've used them as a type of a template for what not to do. How to understand how it is you fall away from God. And then we opened up the book of Acts for a counterpoint. And we saw that in the book of Acts, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And we kind of followed them through the apostolic narrative there in the first century church, as is recorded in the book of Acts. Because how would you know what a church is? And how would you know how to become a part of the church? And how would you know what the definition of the church is if you didn't go to the Word of God? Because there's a church on every street corner in Birmingham, but most of them I would categorize as non-biblical, quasi-Christian. I got three amens, but you better hear this today. If they don't take their definition from the Word of God, if they are in disagreement with Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter, then they are not the church of the living God. Now, I'm going to move into that a little further today, But as we look at the narrative of the book of Acts, we're looking at apostolic culture. Because the failure of Israel is this. They were effectively paganized. They were the culture of God's word. They were not a people. At Sinai, they received the word of God, and they refused to obey it, and they began to flirt with the Philistines and the Canaanites and to take on the affectations and the cultural behavior of the people groups around them. And before it was over, they were worshiping their gods and living their lifestyles, and they had left the word of God. And that was God's charge to them. You've left the fountains of living water. You've rejected the word of the living God. And so we see them as a template of what not to do. These repetitive themes in Jeremiah resonate with me this morning. There is a repetitive theme, the word of God. A repetitive theme, hear the word of the Lord. A repetitive theme, thus saith the Lord. I know what the outsiders are saying, but what is God saying? I know what pseudo-Christianity in 2008 is saying, but what saith the word of God? I know what the televangelists are saying. I know what the compromisers are saying. I know what the backsliders are saying, but what saith the word of God? Seek the old ways. Look to the old paths. Stand in them. And in them you'll find rest to your soul. Praise God. Well, how do I find the old ways? I go to the word of God. Praise God. And you know what? You don't have to have a degree from a seminary to understand the word of God. You don't. Because God loves nothing better than to lift up the poor and the humble. He loves to lift up a little child. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a little child. Matter of fact, much wisdom and much education, unless you use it skillfully, will become a stumbling block to you in making your way into the kingdom of God. Because at heart, you have to stay like a little child and never get caught up in what you know. Well, praise God. So we're going to explore this a little bit today. Judah is falling off into paganism and captivity. And let's look at them in Jeremiah chapter 7. And let's get a little bit of a thumbnail on them just from this one chapter. Jeremiah 7, 1 through 4. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand at the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. You see, they're coming into the house of God. They're coming in to worship the Lord, but they're backslidden. And they're not right with God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways, change your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of... He's mocking them. Because they're saying, we go to church, we go to church, we go to church. Hey, do you know God? I go to church. Hey, have you ever read Acts 2:38? I go to church. Do you have the Holy Ghost? I go to church. And he's mocking them because that's what they're doing. They're saying, I go to church. I go to church. They sound like a parrot. I go to church. Do you know God? I go to church. Do you have the Holy Ghost? I go to church. Do you understand the word? Have you ever had a home Bible study? I go to church. As if that's a panacea for all things. They think because they are physically in the place every now and then on a Sunday morning, somehow God gives them points. But it's about relationship and covenant with God. It's not about showing up at some dead, dull, dry, boring social gathering that calls itself a church. If it's not the church of the living God, it's not a church at all. How do I know where God's church is? It's in the book. A fool can find it, which is a good thing. Chapter 7 and beginning in verse 8. Well, we don't have church tonight. We can spend quite a while here today. But we won't. Thank you for that moderate approval. Jeremiah, have you OD'd on banana pudding? Have you finished your leftovers? The yellow lab got him yesterday. He's a happy dog. He will eat anything. He's a garbage disposal. Jeremiah 7, beginning with verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't trust in lying words that can't profit you. Now look at what they're doing here. Verse 9. Will you steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense to Baal and walk after other gods whom you have not known? Now, you know, you think in terms of gods. You think in terms of Baal and Ashtoreth and the gods of the Greeks and the Romans and the gods of the ancient Sumerians and the Syrians and all of those little idols and maybe Buddhas and things like that. But you got to understand, in modern day America, we have gods all over the place. We have country western gods, and we have football gods, and we've got basketball gods. And any place you go where people are going, yay, yay, that's worship. Well, you didn't get that, or either you don't understand that, or maybe you disagree with that. But any place where you have people, you say, well, why do you say that? Because all that begins in the Word of God. All of that begins in heaven. All of that begins with praise unto God. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at you. You praise anything or anybody you want to. I'm just explaining this to you this morning. I'm just telling you what this is about today. All right, so there are gods that are little idols, and then there are living idols, and they call them stars, and they call them gods. In verse 10, and they come and stand before me in this house. He said, they're doing all these things. They're worshiping these other gods, and they're sinning as best they know how, and they come and stand before me, verse 10, in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. I am free in God to sin. I am free in God to sin. And that's exactly the doctrine that is preached in the quasi-pseudo-Christian churches today. You are free to sin. Thank God for grace. Everybody fails. Everybody sins. Go thou and do likewise. It's all right. Live any way you want to. You're still going to be okay, because all you got to do is believe in your heart. All you got to do is confess with your mouth. And if you do that, somehow miraculously, you're saved. That's not the way they got saved in the Word of God. But it's made so cheap. And it's made so simple today that men and women walk in houses all over this city and they live the life that Jeremiah is talking about. And yet they say, we are free to do all these abominations. Tremendous parallel. It's funny how nothing changes much over the course of several thousands of years. Verse 13. Are you okay? I know this is... should be light and fluffy. The Sunday after Christmas, huh? Should be fa la 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 la. It should be, oh, God loves you, and you're beautiful in His sight, and you don't change anything. You just come like you are. Well, you can come in any condition you're in. He'll take demoniacs and harlots, and all kind of folks. But when you get into the house of God, you got to change your ways. You got to change your life. You can't continue to be like that and serve God. Okay, verse 13. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do to you this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. He totally destroyed Shiloh. And he says, I'm going to destroy this temple, I'm going to destroy this city, and I'm going to destroy you as a people. Verse 15, I'm going to cast you out of my sight. Verse 16, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up nor... He's telling Jeremiah, don't even pray for them. They're beyond the power of prayer. Don't pray for them. They're beyond mercy. Don't pray for them. They're beyond grace. Don't even waste your breath to pray for them. If you're playing with sin today, you need to hear this, because you can get out beyond the reach of where God can bring you back. Judgment's going to fall like an anvil out of the sky on Judah. And he tells the prophet, quit praying for him. Verse 17. Don't you see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven. These are God's people. And they're making little cakes and offering them up to the queen of heaven, who would be Ashtoreth or one of the female deities there. They lost their passion for the word of God. They lost their devotion for the word of God. And they were overcome because of that. Because you see, it's the word of God that creates internal pressure for the kingdom of God. And because they lost their devotion to the word of God and their passion for it, they lost the internal pressure and they were overcome, overwhelmed by the pressure of the culture around them. The godlessness around them overwhelmed them because there was nothing on the inside to set it at bay. The ungodly lifestyles of the Philistines and the Canaanites and the Baal worshipers all around them came on them and began to make sense to them and drew them out to a place to interact with false gods because they didn't have anything down on the inside. They didn't have a sense of identity that was tethered to the word of God. And when you lose that, when you become casual about the word of God, and it really doesn't matter to you, then you'll be molded and formed by the pressures from outside. The cultures of your generation will shape you until you are like them. And in doing so, you cease to be the people of God. Praise God. So then we see that template for what not to do with Judah and in the days of Jeremiah. And I want you to entertain a definitive statement about the church of the living God from the book of Acts, because we're interested in replicating what that book of Acts church was like. We're interested in replicating a crowd of people that have an identity forged by the word of God and that are the salt of the earth that changes everything, but nothing changes it. We're interested in being God's people, unmovable, unshakable, able and willing to do the will of God. Can I hear an amen somewhere in the house? Praise God. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. This is characteristic of this first generation church. These people are in the middle of a riot and they're about to arrest this young man, Jason. And at the end of that sixth verse, they identify the church. They identify Paul and those that have come with him. And they say, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. How did they categorize or characterize the church? They said, these people, we've heard about them. They've turned their world upside down. And now they've come here. And they're in the middle of one of Paul's missionary journeys. And he's going from city to city. And everywhere he goes, he does exactly what they describe here. He turns his world upside down. Well, what does that mean? That means that an experience with the kingdom of God is antithetical to an experience in regard to your world and its culture. Let me run that by you again. When you live for God like the word of God prescribes that you will, when you encounter the culture around you, you literally have the power to turn it upside down. It is not right side up. Let me tell you, Hollywood is not right side up. The mainstream media is not right side up. The PC culture that we're living in is not right side up. And when you come into the kingdom of God, you tend to turn those things. Well, praise God. So you get a picture of the church. It doesn't just go along. It doesn't just move with the flow. It doesn't just silently sit in the midst of a dying culture and wave the white flag and say nothing. But the mandate and a characteristic of this first generation church was that they turn their world upside down. Well, praise God. Does anybody believe that you can do that in the city of Birmingham? Does anybody believe it's just got to go on the way it's been going on? Or is there anybody in the house that believes you can have an apostolic revival in this city with such a great shock value that it's able to turn a city, a high school, a workplace, a neighborhood, a family upside down to get the gangbangers in the altar, laying their drugs and their guns on the altar, to turn an alcoholic upside down, to drug a drug head upside down. My God, young people without vision, to turn them upside down, families in fragmentation, turn them upside down, which really makes it right side up. Somebody with lots of voice go, whoa! I like that's good. Praise God. Okay. What does it mean when they say they're upside down?
It means they're out of alignment. They are culturally incongruent.
They don't fit in with their world. You look like the Supreme Court. What thus saith you concerning the condition of our world? And they uttered upside down. We don't fit our... Now listen, if you're looking around for affirmation, look in the Word of God. If you're looking for approval, look in the house of God. If you're looking to belong, look in the kingdom of God. But don't look for affirmation outside. You'll become that. Don't look for approval outside. You'll become that. Don't look to fit in outside. You'll become paganized. What's wrong with that crowd? They've been paganized. They're not like the Word of God. They're like the Philistines. They're nonconforming. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, I beg you, brothers, or I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He says, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer up your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And then he gives them this admonition. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. Don't put their heroes posters on your wall. Don't look like them. Don't love what they love. Don't go where they go. Don't follow after them. They are an anti-biblical culture. Don't follow after them. You'll wind up like Judah. You'll lose everything that's precious. But he simply says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And how do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. Because that's where it all starts and stops. That's where it begins. That's where it happens. That's where your soul is the interface between the natural and the spiritual. It's the seat of consciousness where you're at the controls and you're making decisions and you're ordering your life, and God won't obviate your will. He won't make you do anything, and he won't let the devil make you do anything. That's right. If you're doing it, it's because you chose to do it. You can't say, the devil made me do it. Can't say that. You're sitting there, well, how do I change? I've been this way all my life. You start getting the Word of God in your mind. You start filling yourself with the... Well, this is pitiful. You start filling your mind with the... Okay, here's the question. Do you really want to stay here till 2 o'clock? Give me a hearty, the Word of God. You really don't want to be here till 2, do you? That's God... Oh. If you're ever going to be a big preacher or a radio-style preacher, oh, by the way, we started a little radio program. Last Sunday morning, there was a lady here from the radio broadcast, And then Tuesday, Brother Cliff put a young lady down in the water in Jesus' name, and she got the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues. Her name is Deidre. She called the radio station and she said, in the middle of the broadcast, I can take phone calls, but not from you. Don't call and act like anonymous leading questions. Well, don't do that. And for a moment, I thought she might have been Rod Underwood affecting a female voice. Is this Rod? And she said, well, what do you do if you don't know you've been baptized in Jesus' name? Because it was such an excellent question, I thought it was an insider. And I said, well, what if we were having a deadly plague in Birmingham and you didn't know if you'd been inoculated or not? She said, I'd get the shot. I said, that's it, exactly. If you don't know whether or not you've been baptized in Jesus' name, there's water here this morning. You don't need to go another day till you go down in the water in Jesus' name. Why would I want to do that? Because that's how they baptize in the Word of God. This is the answer to every question. Why should I live like that? Because that's in the Word of God. How should I walk? The Word of God. What are the old ways? The Word of God. What are the ancient ways that bring you to peace? The Word of God. So when he's saying, look after the old ways or seek the old paths, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. This is the way. Walk ye in it. I have confused myself. Oh, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way that you transform your mind is by instilling it with the God. Okay, so let's take a little overview of Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. We left off last time we were talking on Wednesday night about apostolic culture, which is the culture of the first century church. Why would you want to be anything else? You've got to ask yourself this question. Do you want to live like the first century church? Or do you want an experience that comes from a club that was started 300 years after this? Or a movement that started 1,500 years after this? I've just described to you Catholicism and Protestantism. Neither of those are in the Word of God. You need to find out what apostolic is and who they were and what they did and what the entry-level requirement was and how you get on board. Those are the salient questions. Praise God. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Paul goes into the synagogues and he confronts the existing religious culture. He goes into the synagogues and confronts them and debates with them. In verse 5 of Acts 17, there is an uproar and they arrest not Paul, but a guy named Jason. And Paul slips out of town. So they go down to Berea in verse 10. And in Berea, the people are hungry and they want to hear the word of God. And so Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, says they that were in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they were hungry for the word of God. And so nobility and right motives are judged by your capacity for the word of God. Verse 13 and 10 also, they went into the synagogues. This is what they do. They go into synagogues in every little town. Now, you've got to understand this. When Paul and Silas or Barnabas and Paul and Mark or any of that missionary crew, when they go into these synagogues, this is after the church has begun. And there are synagogues all over the Mediterranean basin in Asia Minor. There are synagogues everywhere where they have the scrolls and they read the word of God and they have rabbis. But you've got to get this. The veil in the temple was torn when Jesus died. That means Judaism is dead. That means the temple is no longer the place. That means the Mosaic covenant has now shifted up the dialectic of God's spiritual experience, and now it's bloomed into the church. But they're still running synagogues. They're like bus stations where no buses go. They're like airports, and everybody's there ready to travel, but there's no planes. They're gathering, handling old information. They need new information. That's why Paul's going there, and he's saying, have you heard about Jesus? Do you know he's the one that Isaiah was talking about? He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded. He was chastised for our peace. Do you understand who this man Jesus really was? And so he would go in at Thessalonica and then again at Berea, and they would confront that existing religious culture. There was around them a Grecian culture, a Roman culture, a Judaic culture that was no longer representative of the Word of God. It was all around them, and everywhere they went, they either started a riot or they had a revolution or they had revival. Somebody say praise the Lord. They never did fit in. They didn't just cozy up to whatever was in existence and fit in. They caused trouble everywhere they went. Because the gospel is not conformable to the culture of any generation. And surely not in North America in 2008 and 9. In verse 13, the Jews from Thessalonica came down to Berea and stirred up all the people. Verses 16 and 17, Paul goes to Athens. They get him out of every place where he goes. They have this big tumult, and he gets spirited away by the brethren. He goes to the next town, goes in the synagogue. In Athens, he goes to the synagogues. He's standing in the marketplaces. He's preaching the gospel. He's telling them, that was for back then. Now you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You got to receive the Holy Ghost. You got to go down in the water in Jesus' name. He's preaching it in the marketplace. But here in Athens, the Bible says that they do nothing but try to hear some new thing. And so they said, well, let's hear what this babbler will say. And they brought him to the Areopagus, or they brought him to Mars Hill, which was the seat of all the Athenian or the Grecian deities. They brought him there, and he said, you guys are way too superstitious. I see you got a god to everything. You even have a monument here to the unknown God. And I'm going to tell you about the unknown God. And he takes a text off the unknown God idol and begins to preach to them about the God that made all things and came to the earth robed in flesh and gave himself and has perpetrated the resurrection from the dead. And so you follow through here. In Acts 18, he goes to Corinth and goes to the synagogues. And again, he's right up against it. He won't let it rest. He's not willing to just draw a truce with all of the competing cultures around him. But God has given him a mandate. It is not for that world to overcome the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God was sent to overcome that world. You got to hear this, and I want you to get it and understand it this morning. God sent his kingdom into the world to deliver you out of this present day and out of judgment and out of hell and out of eternal lifelessness without God. He sent the kingdom to deliver you. And so you've got to be filled up with the kingdom and become resilient against all those cultural impressions around you. Praise God. Acts 18, he goes to Corinth. He's at the synagogues. Not Corinth, Mississippi, but it's Corinth, Greece. And he goes to the synagogues, and they convert the ruler of the synagogue. And they go to Ephesus, and they have revival there, and they rebaptize a bunch of people. He found people baptized already, but they weren't baptized in the name of Jesus. And he baptized them again, and he laid his hands on them, and they all received the Holy Ghost. And they all spake in tongues, and that's exactly how everybody comes into the kingdom in the book of Acts. How could you miss it? If you missed it, it's because you were tethered to tradition. And your tradition didn't get the Holy Ghost, and so you didn't. And your tradition didn't baptize in Jesus' name, and so you didn't. And you were serving tradition and not the word of God. But today is a brand new day. And today is the day you need to read in the book. They were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. They all received the Holy Ghost and they all spoke in tongues. And that's how you know you have received the Holy Ghost. That is a biblical point of reference, not a traditional one. Praise God. Okay, so at Ephesus... At Ephesus, they have this big riot, and all the people go to the Colosseum, and they spend 2 hours screaming at the top of their lungs, "Great is Diana, goddess of the Athenians." And they're doing that because so many people are getting converted that they're bringing their books on sorcery and their little silver idols, and they're bringing all their stuff that have to do with the gods of Greek, the gods and goddesses of the Greeks, and they pile them up in a big pile and they burn them. What are they doing? They're repenting. And they bring them and they pile them up and it starts shaking the city. And the silversmiths union gets together and they say, "Hey, wait a minute. We're making our living off these silver idols and goddesses and all. And so somebody's got to do something about this." And they started spreading a rumor and it caught like fire through the city. And before it was over, they were all in the Colosseum screaming, "Great is Diana, goddess of the Athenians." Until the town clerk came and said, "Everybody knows Athena is great. Everybody knows Diana is great. Go home or the Romans are going to come and take us all away." And so they didn't know why they were all there. The Bible says they didn't really know why they were all there. Most of the people, it says the most part didn't know why they were there. They were like Sunday morning in Birmingham. They're all gathered together. But the most part don't even begin to know why they are there. And all you got to do is ask them simple questions like, all through the Bible, there is always an application of blood. When is the blood applied for the New Testament? I've taught Bible studies all over Birmingham. I get the most vacant looks, the blank stares, the lilted questions. When you believe? Huh? When you confess? When you accept Jesus into your heart? Well, the answer to all those things is no, 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 no. The blood is applied when you go down in the water in Jesus' name. I'm just telling you, they're gathered together all over the city today and they don't know why. Well, quit talking to me about doctrine. Just talk to me about Jesus. You can't get to Jesus without the biblical doctrine. You can't know him without his word. You can't come in the door without this experience. It's all about the word of God. How in the world can you know so much about the statistics of the National Football League and you don't know the word of God? How can you know so much about your hobby? How can you know so much about the gossip in the neighborhood? How can you know so many things and you don't know the word of God? Everybody say the word of God. So we juxtapose the destruction of Judah and the resilience and the impact of the church. And this is a simple question, but who do you want to be like? Sister Tynese, you want to be like Judah and go down into captivity and lose everything that's precious to you? Sure you do. It's exactly what I was looking for. Utter destruction. That's what I've been looking for all my life. No. Or would you like to be like this apostolic church represented in the Word of God? Everywhere it goes, it causes trouble. Everywhere it goes, it causes a riot or a revolution or a revival. People hate it, people love it, but nobody's indifferent about it. Let me say that again. People hate it and people love it, but very few people are indifferent to it. Because it's got this aggressive, intrusive quality to it. It just won't leave you alone. It moves into where you are and says you gotta do it God's way. Judah was overcome and destroyed by persistent external cultural pressure. They lost everything, went into captivity. They set aside the word of God. And they took on the behavior and the lifestyle of the cultures around them. What do you want to be when you grow up? It's okay, baby. I'm going to quit yelling in a minute here. But the church turned its world upside down. Praise God. They confronted or converted the cultures that were in opposition to the Word of God. You see, you can't do this a little. You can't do this just in a quasi-pseudo way. Now, there are, and I use the label all the time, this city is full of quasi, non-biblical Christian churches. Why is that? Because they just want a little bit of it. They want to carry the Bible. They want to confess with their mouth. They want their name out of hell. And then they want you to leave them alone. Leave me alone. What about your lifestyle? Well, this preacher says lifestyle doesn't matter. But the Word of God says otherwise. They want to pursue their dreams, but the Word of God has something else to say. Everybody say the Word of God. Praise God. We're looking at a brand new year. And we're looking at a church full of children and young people. Destinies. Some of you are here and you are visitors to this, but I would encourage you that this needs to be the first year of your new experience in the kingdom of God. I wouldn't leave this house today without going down in the water in Jesus' name. I wouldn't leave this house today without being filled up with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's exactly why. Real simple. You don't need to read Thomas Aquinas to understand that. By the word of God, Abel offered up the wrong sacrifice. The right sacrifice. Cain offered up the wrong sacrifice and became a killer of his brother. By the word of God, Enoch and Noah became 9 people out of several generations that we read about in the time of the flood that were right with God. Not many, just a handful. Don't look for the word of God in the numbers. Don't look for what is right by the consensus of the society around you. Abraham was defined as the covenant family by the word of God. Israel was defined as the covenant people by the word of God. The church was built on the word of God and says this, that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The word of God was spoken in the Old Testament by the prophets and by the apostles in the New Testament. You can't be in disharmony with the apostles and the prophets and be in the church of the living God. Let me ask you this. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? David said, "Thy have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." John in 1 John chapter 2 said the young men were strong because they had something in them. What was it? Jesus in the wilderness when he met the devil and was tempted like a man in the desert temptation. What did he use to defend himself and overcome the devil? The word of God. Somebody say the word of God. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him it's all about the word of God. Somebody say, give me the word. The whole word. And nothing but the word. Somebody ought to just lift up your voice and say, I want to live by the word of God. I want to walk in the word of God. I want to trust in the word of God. My God, somebody ought to be excited about the fact that God has given you a source authority for everything you need for your family, everything you need for your life. My God, let's just take a minute, just a minute, and shout about the Word of God a little bit. People shout about football games, but let's shout about the Word of God. People shout about Christmas, but let's shout about the Word of God. We give you praise. We magnify you. We lift you up, oh God. There are places where if we taught on leadership today, people would be energized by it. And if we taught about 10 ways to succeed in a bear market, people would be excited about it. But more and more, folks are really ambivalent about the Word of God. So much so that our Sunday school teachers and our Sunday school kids can go head to head about doctrinal things with preachers in this city. You ought not talk about other churches. You ought not talk about other preachers. Let me tell you something. The trouble in our city is not the drug dealers. The trouble in our city is not 14-year-old boys with AK-47s. It's not rampant sexually transmitted diseases. The trouble in our city is that pulpits have shut their mouths. Pulpits have set aside the Word of God. Pulpits are afraid to hurt your feelings. Pulpits are afraid somebody's going to leave and they won't have any more cush. Let me tell you something. I've got a job, and if you leave this place, I'm going to stand before God. I need to know that I've told you the truth about the Word of God. Does anybody here want to hear about the old ways? Does anybody here want to know about the old paths? Well, praise God. Praise God. Now, just for a minute, I'm going to turn you loose. 2009, just a few clicks away. 2009. Paul went into the synagogues. I want you to know something. You may not know this yet. Something's about to happen. We're already beginning to get some calls on this radio broadcast. The next stage is this. These people that are listening, because I'm going to hammer this thing. I'm going to hammer themes like there is no Trinity. It's a Catholic invention. Baptism in the titles is not a biblical baptism. You have not been baptized at all. Without the Holy Ghost, you will, is it bust or burst hell wide open? I know burst is better, but it just doesn't have the earthy quality of bust. You just don't see people bursting into hell. The next shoe to drop is that they're going to begin to call their pastor. And they're going to say, "Brother Pastor, I have a question." And then the tension's going to ratchet up. I'm just telling you what's about to happen in this city. The tension is about to ratchet up. But the pulpit is going to continue to preach the Word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Would anybody like to have a riot? My God, a Holy Ghost riot is just what this city needs. We don't need another same old. We need a real, genuine, old-fashioned Holy Ghost outpouring. My God, somebody ought to just have an old-fashioned shout right now. Not about what you feel, but about what you know. I said you ought to shout, not because of what you feel, but because of what you know. Well, praise. I know I'm stretching you because it's Sunday morning after Christmas and you're overcharged with surfeiting, which is a King James phrase that you need to really look up. But it's 2009. We have churches all over the city that say the Holy Ghost was for back then. It's not for today. Now listen to me closely. Don't miss what I'm going to tell you. That's a lie. Let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. If they tell you the Holy Ghost is not for today, that's a lie. It's not a different doctrine. There are no different doctrines. There's only one doctrine. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in y'all. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, they'll tell you baptism doesn't matter. But the Word of God declares you can't get in without baptism. Now, just real quickly now. Jesus said, John 3:5, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit or you can't enter in. You can't get in. You are not born again without going down in the water in Jesus' name. He told Nicodemus, you got to receive the Holy Ghost. How do you know you got it, Josh? You spoke in tongues. Where'd you get that idea from? From your daddy? From your grandma? From the Word of God, because everybody that got the Holy Ghost in the Word of God spoke in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the evidence, the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. If you don't know what I'm doing, I'm just strolling back through some apostolic doctrine for the beginning of a new year. We're not trying to do damage control for an old year already passed. We're about to kick the door open on a brand new year. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be full of apostolic revival. It's going to be full of apostolic doctrine. If you'd back off on that a little bit, well, more people would come. We're not backing up. We're not shutting up. We're not backing off. We're not slowing down. Somebody say the Word of God. Turn to your neighbor, shake them and tell them, give me the Word, the whole Word, nothing but the Word. My God, do you want the Word of God? Or do you want a Reader's Digest edited version? You can get that. I can start tearing pages out of here right now. Would you like that? Fooled you. That was my prayer list. But it's you might as well. Simple scripture. Hebrews 12. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, at this point, we're not going to discuss what holiness is, but I will tell you, you better identify it biblically. You better appropriate it or obey it, whatever it is, because without it, you will not see the Lord. Holiness has a lot to do with lifestyle, how you live. Are you living biblically, or have you been paganized? Are your attitudes biblical, or are they pagan? In the house of the living God, there's only one race. So we don't spend a lot of energy on working on racial relations. It's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? I need to back away because I'm about to really start locking into trouble. No, it's not a hill you want to die on. It's just we live in a society that's way too focused on things that cause division. And they need to be focused on things that are about getting life and life more abundantly. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. 2009, we need to begin to determine how technology is going to affect us in a new year. Mama, did you know that your boy can sit over here and text his little worldly girlfriend and can watch a movie here in the middle of church on his cell phone? Dustin, make a note. We need a jamming device. I don't think apostolic experience has to lag behind. I think you can have a cell phone and still have the Holy Ghost. I think you can have a computer and have the internet and still have the Holy Ghost. But the whole world is changing in terms of technology. And you've got to begin to have some discussions about what do you want to allow in your home? How apostolic do you really want to be? What kind of lifestyle do you really want to have? And do you want to be like the Philistines and the Canaanites? Or do you want to keep your Holy Ghost as it was when God gave it to you? We've got a lot of questions to ask. And the answer is going to be found in the Word of God. God bless you. Hey, let's do this morning. Let's all join down around the altar. If you're a guest here, I want you to come. If you'd like to be baptized, just come right on up and we'll do that right now. We're going to continue this discussion Tuesday night. As you make your way up, lay your hand on somebody. Just ask them, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? You can have it this morning. Ask them, have you ever received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues? You can have it this morning. Hallelujah. Come on up close now. I want you to begin to just talk to God. Hey God, I don't want to be like Judah. I want to hear your word. I want you to speak to me. Everything you have for me, I want it. I want it. Every promise, every revelation, every blessing, every commandment, all you have for me, God, I want it. You need to pray a prayer of your very own, something like that. God, I need you. I want you. God, speak to me. Got somebody going down in the water in Jesus' name. Thank you. Come on now, if you've never been baptized, you never received the Holy Ghost, this is the day. Why don't you get with somebody right there by you, lay your hands on them and pray for them.
Turn.